I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Joe Beamer, News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yes, on this Wednesday, hump day. Hope you're having a great week. Hope you're having a good day at work. In for Bowerly again today. I got to be honest with you. The voice is not 100%. I don't know what happened. I feel fine. But the voice, a little strained. A little strained, so I hope you can put up with me here on WBEN. Got a lot to get to. Obviously, want to start where we left off yesterday, and that is the election. Election Day 2025 has come and gone. And obviously, it was a victorious day for Democrats. I do think you have to look into that and see that Democrats won blue states, a blue city in New York City, blue areas of Erie County, right? Yes, they had a flip in Cheektowaga, but that's not surprising. Cheektowaga is very, you know, kind of swings back and forth. Amherst, you know, Republicans thought they'd seen something. It was a close race, but again, was not a flip for Democrats. The only flip was in Tonawanda. And I got to be honest, I don't know much about what's going on in Tonawanda. And there was a flip in Hamburg, right? That Republican. And that is Beth Lorenz winning, even with a conservative write-in candidate. So here's what I have to say about the election. Because you've got a lot of people, they want to make it bigger than it is. Obviously, the county executive, he's going to do what he does. And Zellner's going to do what he does and whatever. Here's the point. A majority of people in Erie County didn't vote yesterday. Only 25% of voters in Erie County thought it was important enough to get in their car and go vote. Which means a majority of our listeners did not go vote yesterday, did not find it either important enough, were turned off by the candidates that were given, are turned off by the two-party system, thought their vote didn't matter anyway, live in a place like I do where there was only one contested race. Why would you, you know, I did, I went and voted, but a lot of people, you know, obviously, you know, I think Kevin Hardwick could have won regardless, but obviously that helped when, you know, a lot of Clarence didn't go vote. Clarence is pretty conservative. But, I mean, what's the big takeaway? Here's my big takeaway. Are you ready for this? 25% of people went and voted yesterday. My big takeaway is people don't care. People don't care. Now, does that mean that a majority of people in Erie County or a majority of people in the city of Buffalo think that we're on a upward trajectory? That's the question I want to ask. If you didn't go vote in the city of Buffalo, in Cheektowaga, in Amherst, does that mean you think things are on the upward trajectory? That things in Amherst are going great? I mean, Sean Lavin did something right. Brian Culpa is a wildly unpopular supervisor. Lavin still got elected as a Democrat, right? Now, the city of Buffalo, it's a very interesting thing, right? It was the first time the Republicans had run someone in a while. That primary, which I think we learned today, was orchestrated by Jeremy Zellner. Jeremy Zellner wants to be in the state Senate. So he stabbed Scanlon in the back, and people in the party fell for it. People in the party fell for it, including John Rivera, which I'm sure he's second-guessing his decision now in the mayoral race. And now Jeremy Zellner has done the most unsurprising thing. He wants to run for state Senate. But My big takeaway, again, from yesterday, I want to hear from you, 803-0930, star 930. My takeaway is a majority of people in Erie County don't care. They don't care who's their supervisor. They don't care who their county comptroller is. They certainly don't care who their county executive is. They don't care who their legislators are. They don't care who's on the town board. That's my takeaway. Why am I wrong? Why am I wrong? How else can you read these numbers? Like I said, is it people are upset with the choices they've been given? Now, I don't live in Amherst. I have lived most of my life in Amherst, but I don't currently live in Amherst. However, you know, I look at the candidates on the Republican ticket, and I thought they all ran a great campaign. I thought they all had a great vision for Amherst, which a lot of people feel like isn't the Amherst of 20, 25 years ago. Still, they couldn't get over the finish line. So my mind is a lot of Republicans stayed home. Conservatives didn't go to the polls. Is it years and years of Democrats winning almost everything in Erie County? Like, what kept you home yesterday? Again, if 75% of Erie County voters didn't vote, we have a pretty big audience. A lot of our audience is in Erie County. I'm going to guess that a majority of our listeners, or a good number of our listeners, didn't put the effort into voting yesterday. And my question is, why? What keeps you at home when that's the... I mean, I hear so many people, you know, I'm out of here when I can leave. I'm you know, I take a different approach. Like I want to see, I wish the best for New York. I wish the best for Buffalo. I think Sean Ryan's the wrong guy. I hope I'm wrong. Right? I want to see Buffalo bumping again. I want to see downtown Buffalo with people. I want to see crime non-existent or very, very low. I don't think Sean Ryan's that guy. Again, I hope I'm wrong. Sean Lavin. Lavin, nice enough guy. We've had several conversations. I think Lavin is pretty much a continuation of Brian Culpa. Now, he obviously convinced enough people that he's not. But you look at Amherst, and, I mean, are you happy with the way things have been going in Amherst? Cheektowaga. I don't know how to read that one because you had a Republican board, but you have a Democrat supervisor. Is that, are those votes going saying that you agree with the supervisor? It was the board holding him back. See what we can do, giving the supervisor a few years of full control. I don't know how to read that. And then, you know, I'm scrolling on social media, getting ready for the show. And Bob Lonsberry out in Rochester, who I like. I like Bob a lot. You know, I'll tune in and see what he's talking about every now and then. He said to Elise Stefanik, and let me get this. I don't want to take Bob out of context. He said to Elise Stefanik, this gubernatorial thing you're thinking, 86 that. It's a no-go. This isn't the hill to die on. And it would be the hill your political career dies on. He said, you've been in Congress 10 years in a safe seat. And for the last several months, you've been putting together a possible run for governor. Your plan was to finance and support local candidates across the state this year and then announce your 26th candidacy in the wake of this election. Well, they had the election and your party took a blank kicking here and there and everywhere. Those local candidates you were supporting, they mostly got blown up, absolutely hammered all across the state. So Bob Lonsberry is saying to Elise Stefanik, who a lot of people expect to announce she's running anytime, he's saying, at least it's not worth it. The Republicans are going to get hammered in the gubernatorial race. And this isn't the hill to die on. Like, to me, I get what Bob Lonsberry is saying. However, I want to see, and I think this is where a lot of people are kind of turned off this afternoon. I want to see the Republican Party acting like they have a chance in every election. Putting the full resources of New York, of the party. And again, I go back to my question, why did the majority of voters not show up to the polls yesterday? And I think a lot of people might be upset with the Republican Party. Or again, are just so tired of always going voting and then seeing the candidate they voted for get trounced in the polls that, you know, it's Tuesday. Yesterday was a beautiful day. I'm going to go to the park. You know, I'm going to, again, not my attitude. I'm like Columbo. I vote regardless. I vote in elections that I know aren't going to go my way because I want my voice to be heard. And I don't feel like I can sit here, complain, and tell you guys how I see things if I don't go and let my voice be heard every chance I get. So yesterday, again, I'm more upset and more curious about why so few people showed up than I am the results. Again, blue states, blue cities stayed blue. Some got bluer, right? Like, to me, it's not a huge shock the races went the way they did. Now, the only race outside of Western New York that I was shocked by was Jay Jones in Virginia. I mean, this is a guy who had text messages talking about how he wanted his Republican opponent and dead and his children dead. I mean, these were disgusting text messages. And Virginia Democrats thought, regardless of those texts, we're still going to elect this guy. And that, to me, like, that's the problem. That's a problem to me. Right? We saw how this guy feels. And the party would not distance themselves from him. They wouldn't tell him to get off the ballot. And then Virginia Democrats, more than 50% that showed up to vote, elected him to be the attorney general. So just imagine that. You live in Virginia. Your neighbors, Democrats, they voted down the line. Fine. Nothing against that. But they voted for Jay Jones. They voted for a guy who we all know how he feels. His text messages are out there. I mean, I would have to question, does my neighbor want me dead? Would my neighbor not care if I was killed because I'm Republican? Like, so to me, out of everything that happened yesterday, Mom Donnie in New York, Spamberger in Virginia, the one in New Jersey whose name is escaping me now. Again, not overly surprising, right? Glenn Youngkin winning in 21 was a surprise in Virginia. Virginia going back to being a blue state, it's not surprising. Jay Jones winning after what came out, the fact that he was able to continue that candidacy with the support of the party, with the support of the gubernatorial candidate who's now the governor-elect, it just makes me think, is the mindset, is it either Democrats only care about winning and that's it, or are there people in the party who actually feel the way Jay Jones felt in those text messages? Because if that's the case, then my attitude of, you know, we just have political differences, we can talk out our differences, we can all get along and you know, again, openly discuss our political differences. However, if there's a decent number of people in this country who agree with what Jay Jones said and feel the way Jay Jones feels, then we have a problem in this country. And we have a problem in politics when you're viewing people by their political party. And I love the state of Virginia. Unfortunately, the state of Virginia is just like the state of New York. The state of Virginia is controlled by Northern Virginia, right? A lot of them work for the federal government. In New York, we are controlled by New York City, which is just a completely different world than the reality we live in. And again, that's fine. That's fine. You know, I can go over the list of people who I like, who I love, who politically don't agree with me. And that's, you know, that's fine. I don't look at people as their party. I think we have a lot of people in our politics who do, and they only view people by their party. We all know who I'm talking about. But that's not me. And I don't think that's a majority of people. It's clearly not 75% of people. If 75% of people in Erie County viewed everyone as just by their party, if 75% of people in Erie County felt like Jay Jones, we'd have a bigger turnout. And again, I'm glad we don't have people who feel like Jay Jones in Erie County. But when you look at Virginia and you look at those results, again, not surprised by the governor, not surprised by the lieutenant governor, surprised that Jay Jones was still elected. And it really makes me question people who went to the polls and filled in Jay Jones on the ballot. do you feel the same way he does about Republicans? Do you not care if they're, if would you cheer on them being murdered because they politically disagree with you? And I think that's a problem in our politics today, and I think it's irresponsible rhetoric passed on by middle management politicians that really keep that going. And I think you need a united force, Republicans, Democrats, all of the elected officials to join hand in hand and say, that's not right. What Jay Jones said is not right. And making this about anything more than just a different vision for the country is a problem. It doesn't help anybody. I have yet to see that. 803-0930, star 930. What are you taking away from Election Day? And again, 75% of registered voters did not go and vote. If that's you, call in. Tell me why you did not vote. It's Beamer in for Bowerly on WBEN.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN 803-0930. Star 930, Election Day 2025 has come and gone. I think the key takeaway is no one's going out to vote. We talk about this election. You see a ton of ads on the final days of the campaign. No one came out. We had less people than in 21, which, I mean, part of that is the Democrats not running someone on the sheriff's line. That helped Kevin Hardwick. That helped Democrats in the towns. But 25% of people showing up to vote, it's one of two things. Either people don't care, or they are so turned off by the process, they're turned off by the parties, they're turned off by the leadership locally. I don't know what by leadership, I mean the leadership of the parties. I don't know which way to look at it. 803-0930, star 930. Gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Gets you on the phone line as well. Looking at that, someone put our society, by and large, have become lazy and apathetic. I think they care more about the next football game than electing politicians into office that will actually improve our lives. It's truly a sad state of affairs indeed. Someone also put 25% turnout is terrible. And, you know, I go up and down the text board, and of course, you've got the trolls. And again, you don't have to troll me. If you disagree with me, call in. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. But I would think, again, that Republicans, Democrats, whatever, we could unite. I mean, I guess all except for the Democrats that think like Jay Jones, that we could unite and say something's wrong. Why are we not? Why are people not enthused enough to get up and go vote? Why do people feel, you know, it takes 10 seconds? And we have 2 weeks of early voting. Obviously, that's not helping. 2 weeks of early voting. We've got poll workers working. We've got these extended hours. It's not helping the numbers. Local voting numbers have not gone up because of early voting. They're actually going down, which, again, I will look at and say there's a plethora of reasons why that could be. And yeah, 80% of the races in Western New York were uncontested. You want to talk about lazy, not running a candidate, not getting your party's message out there, not attempting to try to get people to go to the polls. Like, that's lazy. If you're a party in a town, in a county, in a state, and you decide the best option is to not run a candidate, well, then you need to look at what your party's actually doing. That goes for Democrats on the sheriff's line, and that goes for how Republicans looked at the city of Buffalo for so many elections. 803-0930, star 930. And then you've got Jeremy Zellner. He's going to run for state senate now. I mean, do any local Democrats feel a little dirty this morning? I'm not saying because you voted for Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan has a lot of support. This is nothing. I don't need a call from Sean Ryan this afternoon. I am not saying anything about his candidacy. But the way the primaries were handled and the way the party put their support behind Sean Ryan, seemingly before the forums even started, and the day after the elections, Jeremy Zellner gets up there and says that he wants to run for state senate. Does anyone feel like they were played? Anyone feel a little dirty how the party just stabbed Scanlon in the back so Zellner could advance his political career? No one wants to call that out. Not one Democrat wants to call that out and say, yeah, you know, I feel a little dirty. I feel like this is a little, it's not in great taste. Now, you know, John Rivera and I, we have our disagreements. I like John Rivera, the person. We have some great conversations. I look forward to talking with John in the very near future. We don't agree on the way he's handling the Hyatt. I'll tell you this right now. I hope John Rivera wins any type of primary he runs against Jeremy Zellner. He is going to have the cards stacked against him. And I'm telling you, I hope people wake up and say what Zellner did to Scanlon was wrong. The way the party handled that election was wrong. Again, I'm not taking anything away from Sean Ryan. But the way that primary was held, you talk to anyone who's not Sean Ryan that ran in that primary, that went to those forums, they didn't feel comfortable the way it was run. And the day after, Zellner couldn't wait till Monday. The day after. I mean, talk about not having any shame. And, you know, you got to give John Rivera credit. He's like, yeah, I know that's what Zellner wants. I want it too. And I have experience. I'm in Albany. I'm in Albany as we speak, right? Hoping to talk to both of them, Zellner and Rivera. But I don't know. Like, to me, that would just, if I was a Democrat in the city of Buffalo and I helped push that along, I would feel played by the party. That's my thoughts. 803-0930, star 930. Scott is in Williamsville. Scott, you know, a lot of optimism in Amherst fell last night. What's your takeaway?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You know, first off, Joe, I understand your feeling about Zellner, but and I totally agree. But what does it matter? I mean, 72%. And it was, you know, three candidates. So they're walking around like, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think we did, because we did it. I mean, they put it out there. And again, you know, I know you're in tune and you listen to everything. I mean, 60 years. I'm listening to Crocker with David, and he's talking about the bench. 60 years, that's the bench. You haven't had anybody. You've got polling cars, what, 2012? He's going to roll for 16 years? Please, tell me about the bench. Tell me how hard you're working. It's a joke. And like you say, AM&A's, Main Place Mall, the Hilton Hotel. There's no, you know, Sinatra is hurting. And Jamal is, you know, probably done. There's no white knight. I just, you know, kids can't read. I just don't understand it. And, you know, I hate to invoke this, but Jonathan Gruber, MIT, you know, the people don't even know what's going on, right? Remember he said that about Obamacare. They're too stupid to understand. And here in Amherst, I mean, every incumbent pretty much won. The whole board is Democratic. They're screaming about 11.4% last year in taxes. They're screaming about Westwood for a dollar. And these guys are all back in. I mean, I heard you talk to Levin a few weeks ago, and tell me if I'm wrong. Didn't he say Station 12 by Christmas? Well, Black Friday's 3 weeks away. I just drove by Northtown, and I'm like, yeah, there's nothing happening there 3 weeks, or we'll be in Christmas. It's just, I just can't believe it. And, you know, real quickly, this Mandani, I mean, you, just like Jay Jones, you scratch your head and say, are you insane? But I'm telling you this, I'm listening to that guy last night. It wasn't a victory speech. That was, I'm sending the message for 25 minutes. I mean, Hochul's going to be like, I got to do what this guy says because he owns the city. And yes, I don't know how anything's going to be funded, but I think he'll turn to Hochul and say, you're funding this. You're funding my plan. And she doesn't have a clue. And you can't tell me that, you know, I'm looking back and thinking it was a clean sweep for Trump and you know, the battleground states. It was 77 million to 75 million with that candidate of Kamala. You tell me if you don't give Mandani 800 million or a billion or AOC 800 million or billion, I really think, it, you know, or Newsom, they're going to roll. I don't see anyone. And last point, I'll just throw this out there. I am a staunch Republican. I'm out of this state as soon as my niece finishes her education in 2 years. We're all out, our whole family. But I kind of look at Trump and like, hey, if I'm not on the ballot, you guys don't have any answers. I can almost see him. I mean, he's turning 80 next year. And the last year of his campaign, you know, it's not going to be a ton. I just kind of feel like, hey, if you guys can't pick this up and run with it, then, you know, you're going to get what you're going to get, because I don't see the Republican. I like J.D. Vance, but
yeah,
those are all my thoughts.
Well, Jeff, Scott, you know, back to Amherst, I mean, 11.4, we've been talking about that for 2 years, and we've even had Democrats talk about how they were blindsided by that. 31,000 people showed up to vote in Amherst. I mean, really, your taxes went up and only 31,000 people decided to go and vote in the town of Amherst? You had 2 weeks to vote?
You've got the Boulevard Mall, you got Station 12, you know, you got part of Eastern Hills, what's going on there. It's just ridiculous. You've got, like you said, 5 years ago or so, 5-7 years ago, top ranked in the safest cities in the nation.
Yep.
I got 13 cars stolen a month ago over a weekend before Labor Day. It's just like, I don't understand it. I really don't. And it's sad. It is sad.
It is, Steve. It is. Hey, man, appreciate the call. Steve in Williamsville. I mean, that number to me, 31,108 people in Amherst. Amherst, the biggest suburb in Erie County. And the biggest suburb of Buffalo, obviously. I didn't think I had to say that. And only 31,000. I mean, 2 years. 2 years people have been talking about the tax hike, including Democrats. It wasn't just Republicans complaining about the tax hike. You had Democrats complaining about the tax hike. 31,108. You had 2 weeks to vote. And again, I'm not taking anything away from Sean Lavin, Sean Ryan, Kevin Hardwick. I'm not taking anything away from those individuals. But what is it going to take to get people to go to the polls when the president's not on the ballot? Again, the change you see, the results you see from a local election, you will see a lot quicker 95% of the time compared to national elections. Like really, in all reality, if anything, these numbers should be reversed. More people should be in tune in what's going on in their backyard. And we can't get more than 31,000 people to go vote in the biggest suburb of Buffalo 2 years after an 11.4% tax increase? What's going on? Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Asking a plethora of questions. I guess the main question is, how are you feeling the day after Election Day? And why did 75% of Erie County not vote? Why did a majority of voters in Amherst not vote? Again, I am not taking anything away from the people who won. All right. Lavin, Ryan, Hardwick, the Democrats in Cheektowaga. I'm not taking anything away. I'm asking, why didn't you go vote? Steve in Hamburg has called in to answer that question. Steve, I thank you. Why didn't you go vote?
Well, I live in Hamburg. I'm 65 years old. I've never missed an election until last night. And my problem is, in Hamburg, we have the same candidates that run on the Republican or conservative side each year. Lynn Dixon, Beth Farrell, the whole bunch. And they're out there every year. I'm glad they won yesterday. But there's no change to the people that the Republican Party puts up for office. It's the same people over and over again. And then you go in and you look at the box, the races for judges, and they'll have both the Republican and the Democrat endorsement, or they'll run unopposed. And I'm sorry. I'm glad they won. But they're just the same old hacks that have been running around out there looking for a job in politics. They're not much different than Zellner. You know, they just go from job to job. They say nothing new. And I'm just tired of it. You know, it was just like I decided to go for a walk with my friend last night after work then go and vote. And I think that was time better spent.
And those individuals winning doesn't change your mind. You still think that, hey, you get a run. If it doesn't work out, we need fresh faces. We need more people. We actually need to have a bench so we can continue to run fresh ideas, fresh people in these elections.
Absolutely. I mean, these people, if they don't get it for aldermen, they're going for something else, for supervisor. When they don't, Lynn Dixon has lost so many elections before last night. And it's just like, enough. We need to get different people in there. But the Republican Party is such a joke in this county. I'm sorry. They're always sending me emails to donate money and everything else, but they never spend the money here locally. You know, they never really try to field candidates and get out there into the public except in the places where they think they have a chance to win. And, you know, I'm not going to donate my money or my time for that. I'm a conservative, and that's what I am. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I changed my registration to conservative because I just think here in this part of New York State, it's not worth it. And I'll say one other thing. Elise Stefanik, I hope she does not run for governor. She is a good congressperson. I lived up in the Adirondacks for 25 years. I had the pleasure to vote for her for a couple of times. She was a good representative. She can do way more good in the House of Representatives than anything she can do in Albany, where there's pretty much a supermajority now in the Assembly. And I'm not sure if we're at a supermajority in the Senate yet, or we're close to it.
Yeah, not
anything
there yet.
But yeah, they're going to shoot her down. I think she's a really good politician, and for her to go and run for governor, that just says to me she likes the idea of having the title of governor with no real power.
Hey, Steve, appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the insight, and I think a lot of people feel the way you feel, and I think you shed a light on that. Thank you so much, Steve, in Hamburg. I will point...
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Out though, Lynn Dixon has also won several races, right? I mean, let's be honest, she took on pulling cars. That's not easy. And by the way, people don't even like pulling cars will vote for pulling cars because he's got a D next to his name. She took on Hardwick, right? It's not like Lynn Dixon was losing at the county level to people that you'd never heard of. And before that, she was in the legislature. So to be fair to Lynn has won elections before. She took some very difficult fights that a lot of Republicans wouldn't take. Right? I mean, you look at county executive. I would love to see Mickey Kearns, Chris Jacobs run for county executive. But, you know, in that is a tough fight to ask anyone in Erie County to go, because you do have to flip a number of independents and moderate Democrats. I mean, it's an uphill battle. So I do think we have to give Lynn some credit for that. And again, before that, she had won elections, and she won last night in Hamburg. 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer in for Bowerly back after this. In for Tom Bowerly on this hump day. Hope everyone's enjoying their Wednesday and not letting the rain bring you down. I got to ask a question. Are more and more alligator cases popping up? Are we just reporting them more? I mean, it seems like every other month, someone in Western New York gets caught with an alligator. Anyway, it's Beamer in for Bowerly today on News Radio 930 WBEN. And I wanted to shift gears and talk about the sandwich generation. Now, when I first clicked on this, I thought we were going down a whole nother topic, but it's about Americans and with aging parents and, you know, the difficulties of caring for an aging parent who wants to be in their home. You don't want them in your home, but, you know, finances come between. And another thing that we've learned, I think a lot of people have discovered, is a lot of people don't want to talk about death. And that puts families in really tough situations. So this is an account out of USA Today about Melissa Rogers and her mother in her final days. Her mother had dementia. Rogers found a memory care facility in Minnesota, applied for senior voucher to place her mom, and it was a waiting game. And again, I think we've talked about long-term health facilities, retirement facilities, senior care facilities, and, you know, the hassle, how great some are and the hassles that others bring. But there was a survey done where, you know, a majority of people, I don't think this is a secret, I don't think we need a survey to tell you this, majority of people want to be in their home as long as they can, right? People want to be in their home until their final day, if possible. Now, on the other hand, family members who provide family care, well, 70% of them don't want their family member in their home, and their family member doesn't want to be in their child's home. Unfortunately, though, with, again, finances and the lack of communication that happens before, let's say, in this case, dementia sets in, it leaves the family with a lot more questions than answers and what is the right thing to do. And then again, you have the finances of this, where financially bringing your loved one into your house so you can provide 24/7 care becomes the necessity to do. So I kind of want to go through both of these at 803-0930, star 930, and talk about your experiences with aging family members and, you know, the difficult decisions. Because I can say this by, watching my parents deal with their parents. It's not easy. And even when you do what you know is right, you still question it. And, you know, it's something you struggle with. And I've seen that, you know, take place. I have also seen an example of, you have a couple. One person is dying. They know their days are, you know, their time on this earth is getting shorter, unfortunately. And not wanting to have that conversation, and the family not wanting to kind of pry that information, you know, that conversation out of them. It's not a most people don't want to talk about when their final day. They don't want to talk about death. The fact is, however, eventually, someone's going to die, and someone is going to have to pick up the pieces. And if there's no guidance, right? Hey, I have this account here. Make sure you do this. This is something that needs to be settled. We have to have this discussion tonight. No one wants to talk about that. No one wants to talk about a day they're not going to be on this earth. And I don't care what age you are, right? You don't want to talk about death. You don't want to talk about you leaving this earth. But it's a necessary conversation to have. And unfortunately, you know, you don't realize the importance of it until that person's gone. And then you're stuck saying, you know, it was uncomfortable, but I wish I would have gotten the information out of them. I wish I would have sat that person down and said, hey, I know this isn't easy. I'm not in your position. I can't even imagine. But we have to talk about this. We have to have a plan so the family knows what to do when you're not here. Now, this data is from Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance. It says 74% of adults say they would want to be cared for at home. 7 in 10 family caregivers don't want their aging parents to live with them. The survey conducted by the Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance found that only 17% of respondents had fully detailed discussions with their parents about their care needs and the possibility of moving into senior housing. So 17% had the conversation, you know, hey, what do you want? And if the time comes where I can't keep you in your house, where do you want to be? Now, to this, you know, there are also people who would welcome their aging parents into their house with arms wide open. But unfortunately, they move their parent in and they realize they just don't have the resources, or the health of their parent or loved one has deteriorated far past any possibility of keeping them in their house. So of those, you know, 30% that say they would not mind their parent living with them, unfortunately, there's about half of them that they try to make it work and they can't. It's just not possible. And again, it goes back to the conversation about care needs. And if it came to moving to senior housing, what options would you be open to? 803-0930, star 930. Have you gone through this? You know, a parent with dementia, with Alzheimer's, which is just, I mean, an absolutely depressing disease. And, you know, it's one of those things that I hope sooner than later we can find a cure for, a way to stop it, to delay it. I know there's research going into that every day, but it's absolutely heartbreaking, you know, to see someone who's lived their life and, you know, have had a great life. And then just to see them in their last years, and it could go for years, just completely breaking down, you know, losing control of everything, losing their memory and losing their ability to talk, to the point where, you know, their final days are just laying in a bed, maybe up for a few hours, maybe not up at all. And yeah, it's emotional. I mean, when you're put in these situations, it is emotional. Again, I am fortunate that I have not been put in this situation, but I've seen what, you know, what my parents went through. I saw what my dad went through with my grandmother, right? I mean, tough decisions. He had to make them. He had it, you know, and at the end of the day, he did everything right. Still doesn't mean it wasn't emotional. Still doesn't mean he doesn't question, right? 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. I want to hear your stories of dealing with aging parents and trying to keep them in their home, convincing them maybe, you know, hey, it's time to move to where you have, yes, you have independence, but Also, hey, if you need care, it's there. And having that discussion, having the death discussion. Have you had to pry that out of a person? Or were you stuck in a situation where neither of you wanted to have the uncomfortable conversation, and now, you know, that family member has died, leaving you with more questions than answers? 803-0930, star 930. Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. So this coming down right now as we're on the air, and I just want to bring it up to people. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has announced that the U.S. will implement airspace restrictions as staffing shortages strain the Federal Aviation Administration amid the longest government shutdown in history. 10% reduction in capacity at 40 locations. Talking about airports, obviously. So if you're flying anytime soon, you know, just make sure you keep a close eye, which you should always, by the way, if you're going flying. But keep a close eye on your flight and make sure that that thing is on time. Because if your flight's delayed, you'd like to probably spend as much time away from the airport as possible. 803-0930, star 930. So talking about caring for, you know, the article's aging parents, but aging family members. And the situation, and again, everyone wants to be able to provide the best care for an aging parent, for an aging family member, and they want to do everything that's right, right? And there are people, as I mentioned before weather, there are people who, their plan is to have their parent, their family member come live with them, or they go live with their family member to give 24/7 care. The problem is, or the thing is, as much as you fight it, even with the best medicine and technology that we have, as you age, it becomes more and more difficult to stay in your home, right? And eventually, you know, you do have to make the difficult decision and convince your loved one that it's time to move into a facility where, you know, they will still have independence, but again, there'll be care there. If something happens overnight, there will be people there to care for them. And then there's the conversation of death. And like I said, I hear, you know, far too often about the family who's got questions. They're looking for this, looking for that. They're calling, you know, they're calling everyone they know. They're looking through desk drawers because, well, you know, so-and-so died and we knew they were, you know, we knew that their days were getting, you know, their last day was getting close, and we never got this information out of them because they didn't want to have the conversation and we were too comfortable to get that information. And by the way, I can understand if I was told, hey, you only have so long to live. Yeah, that would probably be very difficult for me to start talking about the days where I'm not on Earth. But I would hope that I have the same thought I have now, and it's that, you know, putting my family first and making sure that I don't, you know, leave them in an awful situation because I didn't want to have an uncomfortable conversation. And we've all had uncomfortable conversations, but I mean, that is probably the top of the top when it comes to uncomfortable conversations and conversations that no one ever wants to have. And it's understandable. Even though most adults don't want their aging parents to live with them, many find themselves in that situation. And obviously, it boils down to cost, according to this article. Nearly half of Americans provide financial support for their aging parents or in-laws, or expect to in the future, according to a recent survey from LendingTree. The same survey found that more than half of those who support their parents have incurred debt while providing help, and almost half feel resentment toward their parents because of the financial burden. Northwestern study found only 42% of boomers and 35% of Gen X respondents have planned financially for their own long-term care. Another piece of this puzzle. Have you put money aside for the possibility that you will need either around-the-clock long-term care at home, or you will need your family to put you in some type of nursing home. 803-0930, star 930. Again, we're not having a comfortable conversation. This is uncomfortable. But I think people sharing their experiences might be able to help those who find themselves in the situation that we are reading about right now. It's Beamer in for Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts. Be held
responsible. Joe Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Talking about this study, and this has gotten a lot of attention. I've seen it all over the internet about older Americans want to age at home. Their kids are suffering to help them. 803-0930, star 930. We've talked about, you know, trying to keep your aging family member in their home, in their house. Again, not wanting your aging family member to, you know, have to move in with you. And even those who do and are open to the idea find logistically that's just not possible given the state of their family member's health. And then there's the topic of discussing death, your death, with your family. And how do you bring up that conversation? How do you have, if your family member is the one, is, you know, let's just say what it is. If your family member has been told, you know, they only have so many days to live, so many months to live, they don't want to talk about it. How do you get that information out? How do you get that information out of someone to, again, you don't want to be disrespectful. You know, you want to, and it's not a comfortable conversation for anybody. And then there's the putting money aside for when you do age and how, 42%. Let's make sure we got the numbers right, Joe. 42% of boomers and 35% of Gen X respondents have planned financially for their own long-term care. Is that you? Was it the caring for a family member that opened your eyes to the fact that maybe it's time to put some money aside? 803-0930, star 930. On the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, texter says, the whole death issue isn't that big of a deal for me. I'm not married, no kids, no close family. I've decided to donate my body to UB Medical School after my demise. Well, there you go. That person has it all figured out. I'd be interested. Anyone who's gone through this, anyone who might be currently going through this, for your take, 803-0930, star 930, we'll keep that topic open. I saw something today when driving into work. And for me, I've heard this before, and I think it's awful advice the way it's given. Okay, you ready for this? So I was driving by Sweet Home Middle School right here on Maple. And there is a slogan that comes up on their screen that says, put the first things first. I've heard this slogan before. I've been told this before. Is that good advice? I don't think it is. And let me tell you why. Number one, at a middle school of all places. When you're in middle school, you don't know how to prioritize. You're not prioritizing things correctly, right? I would hope that people in this audience are not prioritizing their life the way they were in middle school. But this goes for anybody. I think we know, especially my generation, we're not the best at prioritizing things correctly. Putting things in, you know, I mean, I think most people would say, first things first, your family, right? I would put that first. I put family first. You know, career would be up there somewhere. But just saying, put first things first, because there's people out there, there's people my age out there that are not putting, they're not prioritizing correctly. You say put first things first, and they think it's a three-night bender in Las Vegas. That person should definitely not be told to put first things first. Their slogan should be, maybe it's time to readjust your priorities. I think it's an awful advice to put first things first. Not that, and hey, priorities change for people, right? They change as you get older. And that's great. What's first on your priority list when you're in middle school isn't the same as when you're in college, isn't the same as when you're in your 30s. I think we can all agree on that. I think the advice should be prioritize accordingly and try not to put too much emphasis on the little things. Now, to me, that's great advice. And it's communicating what put first things first is attempting to communicate. Does that make sense to anybody? Or am I just blowing this way out of proportion? There's a lot of slogans like that that are supposed to be motivating that, in my opinion, just missed the mark. Absolutely missed the mark. And I saw that one today, and I thought to myself, put first things first. But what's first? Put family first, yes. Put emphasis on your career path. You know, don't let little things bring you down. Don't let a bad day take you off course. Don't let a bad month take you off course, right? Not every day is going to be sunshine and roses. Not every day is going to fill you up with this bubbly feeling. It's a little dark, but it's true. Like, that's great advice. I was just taken aback by put first things first. And then I remember we heard that all the time. Heard that all the time growing up. 803-0930, star 930. What is a slogan or a motivational slogan that you have seen either, you know, in someone's office, those dorky posters, or at the gym, or you've heard that to you makes no sense? Maybe you've heard someone say it, you know, on TV, on a radio show, and it makes absolutely no sense. What is a slogan that you think completely misses the point? Star 930. Gets you on the show. It gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Also, our last topic, talking about the sandwich generation, talking about caring for aging family members. We definitely still have the phones open for those who want to share that experience. And I got to tell you this. Well, we have a minute before traffic. I saw some news yesterday. And to me, the story is not that this thing is leaving. It's the fact that it was still on. And that is the CMT Hot 20 Countdown. Now, if you know what CMT is, it's supposed to be country music television. But beside the countdown and a few special programs, there hasn't been much country music television coming out of CMT, okay? Well, they ended their music video countdown. And my reaction is, how was that still on the air? Who is still tuning in for a music countdown? Like, the days of Casey Kasem are far from are gone, right? Decades removed. Is the music countdown, just like so many things, something that you tune in, you go, they're counting down the hottest songs? I can get that online. Let's go to Mike in Lakeview. Mike, you want to talk about slogans?
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing all right, man.
All right. One of my favorite is, there'll always be tomorrow. Right? And it's like, okay, there's always going to be tomorrow. Did you say that yesterday? And then there's like, what you can do today, you shouldn't put off till tomorrow. Right? Now, there's a certain wisdom that lays within all this. And when you look at the immense population of Earth, there's no way that one person thought of all this. Now, Benjamin Franklin, he came up with a lot of really, really good ones, right? He was gifted. He was in his time. He was a printer. He was writing it down. But when you think about it, there's no way that only one person in this world invented the wheel. Did you ever think of that?
I hadn't until you said something, Mike.
Right. Now, you tell that to a coworker who was not listening to this show, right, when they come up with, like, whatever idea. Like, I'll lay out a hot tip for you. You make your own wings at home, right? You make your own sauce. That's awesome. You know what you do then? You put real bacon bits in it. And now you're over the top, right?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Are you the only person who thought of it? Probably not. But when you say something to somebody like, did only one person in this world invent the wheel? That's my own personal one that I came up with. Whatever. You know what I mean? Think about it.
That's a good one. I might steal it from you.
Right. Now, if you're talking about these, I'm going to skip the metaphoric vernacular obscenities. If you're talking about the ones you buy in like Dollar General that are pre-framed, I mean, come on, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? I've got one hanging right here in my house. God bless this kitchen. God bless this home. Right? God bless all of us. When you come down to it, there's so many philosophies out there. But when somebody's hooked on one, come on. Don't you just want to backhand them one? You know?
Well, I like the slogans you have in your house, you know, opposed to what I see so much. Live, love, laugh. Oh, my gosh. Could you pick three more generic words to hang up in your house?
No, that's true, though. You live... Right?
Yeah.
You love it when you see a chick trip at the beach. And don't you love to laugh? Right?
Mike.
You see a girl trip at the beach? It's hilarious.
I do love to laugh. I do love to laugh. I'll tell you that. Mike, I appreciate the call, and I'm definitely taking the slogan. Don't put off today. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Also, that's not all true. If it's 11:30 at night, yes, I could finish this chore, or I can go to bed and get sleep so I don't fall asleep on the air and get fired at my job. Get what I'm saying? 803-0930, star 930. Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930. WBEN, talking life slogans. And if you're just joining us, at the Sweet Home Middle School, a slogan, put first things first. And like, to me, that doesn't really say much, right? Put first things first is not advice. What should be first? What is first? Right? If I have my SATs, studying for my SATs should be somewhere in that first list. Was it when you were about to take your SATs? Was that what you prioritized first? You get what I'm saying? Like, if you want to be honest, put what should be first first. My SATs, let me tell you, studying was not my priority because the Sabres were playing in game one of the divisional series against Ottawa. 803-0930, star 930. We were talking about this, and I wanted to take your calls on this, and uncomfortable conversations. Becky in Cheektowaga. Becky, you firsthand have experience about having that uncomfortable conversation about death.
Yes, I was diagnosed in 22 with stage 4 metastatic bone cancer. And at that time, well, and still, there's no cure for it. And they tell you your life expectancy is 5 years. So I just sat my family down and I just told them the diagnosis and that I had 5 years. And when I went to work, I worked with some really incredible people. They're just awesome people. And I let them know what was going on also. So it's just, I'm not afraid to die. Most people are just afraid of the way they're going to die. But I'm not afraid to die. I'm going to be 70, you know, and I've lived a good life and a long life. And so I'm prepared. I'm just one of those people that death has never scared me. And so I'm pre-planning my funeral, taking care of that, paying for that, so I don't leave that burden with my family. I had a dumpster recently at the house and just cleared out as much as I could. And I'm still working. I am actually kind of doing very well going into my fourth year, and things are pretty stable. And my last PET scan didn't show any growth in my cancer, but they say there's no cure for it. But like I said, only God knows my number. He knows when it's up. And I just continue to live. I am not going to sit around and feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to listen to every little ache and pain and wonder, is this the day? I'm going to live my life. I'm going to continue to work for as long as I can and do the things I want to do. Long-term care, that, you know, I'm already checking into that, you know, how things will work, how I can set things up now. But I'm just going to keep living as long as I can.
Well, Becky, that takes so much strength and bravery. I got to ask you, did you have like a big vacation? Like, are you planning something that you haven't done yet that you want to do while you have this, you know, information?
Well, the only thing that I am planning on is possibly in the spring going to see my sister in Florida. I haven't seen her in 25 years. And so she's my older sister, so I'd really like to go and see her. But other than that, no, I'm always never been a person to travel and things like that. I'm very comfortable in my little area with my, you know, net of people around me. So, but yeah, I'd like to see my sister.
Well, Becky, God bless you. Like I said, I mean, your strength and bravery is showing, and I hope, I wish you many years past what they gave you.
Well, only God knows.
That's
so,
right.
I hope so too, but only God knows.
Hey, Becky, thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Becky in Cheektowaga. Now, I'll tell you right now, if I was in Becky's shoes, no way I'd be able to talk about it that freely. And I guess you don't know until you're in that situation, but you can hear the strength, right? In that call. And again, not an easy conversation to have, but she had it right away. 803-0930, star 930. 1 hour left. It's Beamer in for Bowerly on WBEN. Hey, final hour here. Beamer in for Bowerly on WBEN. Thanks again to Becky for calling in. I'm sure. I mean, she made it sound, you know, so she talked about it so freely and, you know, had the conversation right away. But I'm sure, you know, not still uncomfortable to talk about, you know, and she talked about not fearing death. And maybe it's me. Like, I'm like the complete opposite of that. Like, I fear death. You know, I fear I haven't done everything I want to do. I want to see my son grow up, you know, want to see what his life looks like. These are all the things I think about, you know, when the smallest of pains occurs and I'm searching on WebMD what I have, You know, I think about, and maybe this isn't the right way to do it. You know, maybe the right way is take every day. To go back to slogans that you hear too much, you know, take every day as it is. I mean, I'm the kind of guy, not only do I fear death as we speak now, as I speak as a 37-year-old, I also like live my life as, oh my gosh, you know, my 30s, when I get in my 40s, will I still get away with doing this or acting like that? And you know what I mean? Like, I've always been just obsessed with, okay, when I get older, what can and can't, how can I act, right? People say this all the time. I'm 37. I feel the same I did when I was in college, right? I feel like right now if Chris said, hey, let's go to a college party. All right, Chris, let's go. And I have to go, yeah, I'm 37. I can't do that. I'm a little old, a little old. But when it comes to death, it is, I will 100% say that if I got the news that Becky got, you know, I know there'd be a part of me saying like, Joe, you gotta handle this. You gotta handle it for your family. You gotta talk about it. But another part would just be like dwelling. And
hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's there's no worse news, right? I mean, than being told that your time on earth is limited. And again, that sounds like a selfish thing to say, but for me, it's all the things I want to experience and I want to, you know, see. I want to see my son grow, like I said. I want to be there and share all the experiences with him that, you know, I was able to share with my parents and so on. So I know there's a lot of people that, you know, they, not that they want to die, but it's not a top fear. I'd say for me, death is something I fear. And, not that I, you know, don't think, not that I don't think, you know, when that day comes, you know, what does it look like after this? I've obviously wondered that. But it's definitely, I am not ready for my time on earth to be done, I guess is how I'm thinking. 803-0930, star 930. Apologize about the voice, guys. I don't know. It's the funniest thing. I was talking just fine until this mic turned on. And in these last 3 hours, I want to get, you know, I know people are or politicked out, after the election. Right? It's been all politics. I get that. And, you know, I got a lot of non-political stuff to talk about. But I can't get over the divisive attitude and the divisive comments from elected leaders. Right? We talked in the first segment of the show about Jay Jones and the attorney general elect in Virginia. And how does this guy get elected? How do people say they can look past what he said in those text messages? And by the way, I would say the same thing if Jay Jones was a Republican. Like, but that guy got elected. Democrats continued to support him, and he got elected. And now Democrats have to own that, right? Not just Democrats in Virginia. Democrats have to own that the party stuck with and pushed over the finish line a guy who in his text messages fantasized about killing his Republican opponents and their children. And you know, you talk about political rhetoric and how are we going to change it. You've got the county executive in here in Erie County who's talking about Trump supporters being members of a cult and need help. I don't know. To me, continuing to support the guy who's advocating political violence and continuing to support him because he has a D next to his name, to me, that sounds like a cult. Like, that sounds like a cult to me. I'd love to know the reaction from the county executive. Obviously, he won't come on. But you say Trump supporters are in a cult. Sir, would you agree then that people who still voted for Jay Jones because of the letter next to his name and ignored the text messages, would you say they're also in a cult? The cult is called the Democratic Party. What about the people who went along with Jeremy Zellner's plan to take over Sean Ryan's seat? Are we going to continue to pretend that other people didn't know what was going on? And they followed Zellner. They did what the party told them. Doesn't that kind of sound like a cult, sir? But I would never make those accusations. I don't think Democrats are in a cult. I do question Democrats who voted for Jay Jones in Virginia. But we had that discussion in the first hour. But this divisive rhetoric, and again, the answers will always be from the political left, but Trump, right? That's how they always, that's every response is, yeah, but Trump, right? But again, the county executive, who I was told was in a meeting today, and that's why he couldn't get back to me, he put, it was a great night for the Democrat Party yesterday, but more importantly, for our democracy. Again, this fib that Republicans are going to take away democracy. Across the nation, people spoke by overwhelmingly rejecting Trump's self-centered agenda and voting for the candidates and party fighting for the people of America, the Democratic Party. Right, the most unpopular party right now, most unpopular they've ever been. But again, this is the guy who thinks you're in a cult if you don't vote like him. He thinks you're in a cult if you're not freaking out and having panic attacks because the East Wing is under construction in Washington. It's to me, we're not going to get anywhere if we don't just accept that we have different opinions. I mean, you had Sean Ryan last night talking about standing up to MAGA. So, Sean, my question is, does that mean the 22-23% of people who didn't vote for you and voted for James Gardner are not welcome in New York? That's how Mark Poloncarz makes you feel. The county executive clearly thinks that we'd be better off if there were no Republicans in Erie County. It's pretty much what he has said. Sean Ryan, the city of Buffalo is crumbling. And by the way, it was crumbling before 2016, so don't try to blame that on Trump. The trajectory of the city of Buffalo is downward. And on election night, at your celebration speech, whatever you want to call it, you said you're going to be sticking it to MAGA. I might be taking it out of context, but you know what? You said something about standing up to MAGA. Do you think the city of Buffalo, it's the same question I have for John Rivera. Do you think the city of Buffalo is in a position to push anyone away? Right? You've got the people that are calling for the boycott of the Hyatt. You've got the conference that's no longer coming because it was going to be at the Hyatt. And we're celebrating that a conference isn't coming to Buffalo. We're celebrating that people aren't coming to Buffalo. We're calling that a win. Now the mayor-elect is going to talk about standing up to MAGA. How about embracing people who don't think like you? 24 hours ago, I asked if you could work with people on the other side of the aisle. You said yes. Not 4 hours after that, I'm sorry, 5 hours after that, you're talking about how you have to stand up to MAGA. I just don't understand, especially at the Erie County level, why people like Poloncarz, Zellner, and Sean Ryan yesterday, and again, I like talking with Sean Ryan. I hope he comes on Hardline Sunday. Why it has to immediately go to that, and it has to go to talking about, you know, the Republicans. I mean, again, the county executive talks about Republicans worse than he would talk about, you know, I'm trying to think of a comparison, but I mean, his disdain for Republicans is so clear in his social media. And I just don't know who that's good for, who that's helping. Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Just some observations after election night. And like I said in the first hour, disappointing how low the turnout was. We heard from Scott in Hamburg and why he decided to stay home. I mean, is there, let me just ask it, is there an anger or a disappointment with the local parties, Democrat and or Republican? Do you feel like the best candidates aren't being run? And to that point, who are the best candidates? Right? I mean, if we're going to look at 2027 with the county executive, likely a new county executive will be elected, who's the Republican in Erie County that can get votes from both sides of the aisle? And how does the party convince that person to run? Right? Let's talk about a bench. You know what I'm saying? And this political division, I know I keep on saying this. I think it's so important to not play into it. I know I bring it up. I know I let it get to me. But you can't play into it. You can't say, well, since they're saying it, we can. No. Like, I honestly believe that deeper political division helps nobody. Oh, it got my party elected. Okay. And then what? You're not talking to your neighbor because they put a, the sign up of the other party? Who wants to live in that world? Who wants to live in that country? Again, I think there's a lot of our elected leaders, especially locally. Yeah, they want you divided. It helps them. But we're not here to live, you know, we're not here living for them. 803-0930, star 930. One segment left. It's Beamer in for Bowerly on WBEN. Final segment, 803-0930, star 930. If I talked about it in the last 2.5 hours and you want to comment on it, give me a call. Let's chat. You know, there used to be a time where you would run to your radio. You would be waiting for this weekly voice to come into your home, into your car.
Hello, everybody. This is Casey Kasem inviting you to join me this coming weekend for the premiere of Casey's Top 40.
That was when he switched to his own brand in 89. But American Top 40, Casey Kasem, that was the thing. That was the countdown. And, I mean, that spun off, you know, country music countdowns and other, I mean, Rick D's in the weekly Top 40 imitated that. Then on TV, you had top countdowns for different genres of music. And then obviously, when I was young, I mean, TRL, it was a short era, but it was an era of MTV that, I mean, was wildly popular. People would line up outside the old MTV Times Square studios. Now, they would have guests and everything, but sometimes they'd have nobody, and there's still a ton of people out there to see what people called in as the top 10 songs that day. I mean, the top 10, top 20, top 40 countdown was such a hot thing in the music industry. And as I said a little bit earlier, we are now getting news that another countdown, I mean, you know, TRL doesn't exist anymore. Obviously, Casey Kasem is no longer with us. Ryan Seacrest does host American Top 40. But these countdowns, I just don't feel like they're as popular. They're not the appointment radio or appointment TV that they once got, that they once were, right? Either people don't care what the top 10 songs are because they're going to listen to whatever they want to listen to, or they find that information different ways. And I would say over the last 20, 30 years, that is something that has really kind of faded, right? It's not something that you were keeping your eyes on. It's just one day, you're scanning your radio, you're flipping around TV, and it's not there anymore, right? CMT, now getting rid of their top 20 countdown, which has been a staple on that network for as long as I can remember. The music countdown, it's dead, really. Now, don't get me wrong. I like listening to a good countdown when I'm in the car. Why? Well, if I'm in the top 10 country countdown, I kind of know the next 10 songs, right? It's interesting. I find it interesting, but I'm also, like, you know, a radio and music nerd. But it made me wonder, and this is a question that our brand manager saw on the socials, because I think the music countdown is something that gradually disappeared over the last 20 years. Well, the question was, what has gradually disappeared over the last 20 years without people really noticing it? I think you can put music countdowns in there. Again, maybe not because it wasn't obvious, but because it's not something that was on top of your mind, right? The 90s, you're getting cassette tapes and recording the countdown so you have the songs all week. But then MP3 players come out. Then you have music at your fingertips. Then you get Bluetooth, right? I mean, all this stuff moves towards, again, you're not really thinking of it. But then when you do think of it, because I just mentioned it, you're like, wow, that really has disappeared. What would you say has disappeared over the last 20 years and people don't really notice it? 803-0930, star 930. You want to know another thing that has disappeared? Now, I've noticed it. But if you're not looking for it regularly, maybe you didn't. Magazines. Magazines have completely, I don't want to say completely, but have disappeared. I remember as a kid, my parents had a big basket of magazines next to the TV in the basement or in our TV room in Hornell. And my parents had magazine subscriptions. And those magazines would come in, they'd be in that basket, and you'd have the whole month to flip through that magazine. They got me the Nickelodeon magazine, ESPN magazine, back when, you know, ESPN was still known for SportsCenter. These magazines, we would have, you know, three or four magazines every month, and you'd look through them. But now, who is getting a magazine subscription? Except for, unless you're, and you can't, you don't count if you're a doctor's office. Who is getting a magazine subscription? Now, you might go out and buy a magazine because your favorite baseball team won the World Series, or you want a preview. You know, like I like to get the baseball preview and the football preview to kind of add to my fantasy football study before the draft. But even that is not timely. If you have a draft after week two of the preseason, my gosh, the things that could have happened to a player after training camp, after a preseason game, that's not updated. That's old information. A magazine is a monthly or weekly newspaper, really, where that information is already outdated by the time it's printed. You know, I used to love going when we would go to the grocery store. The magazine section was an aisle long. Do you remember that? At the Alberta Wegmans, not only was the magazine section as long as an aisle, they had tables and chairs where you could flip through the magazines maybe while someone else was shopping. Now magazines take up a quarter of the aisle. I would argue that magazines have not only gradually have gradually disappeared, but if you haven't looked for a magazine in the last 10 years, and you know someone in the house goes, "Oh, hey, You know, maybe Chris says, hey, Sabrina Carpenter's on the cover of such and such magazine. Can you go find it? And you go to Topps or Wegmans. You go, where's the magazine aisle? And you've seen it for the first time in 10 or 15 years. And it's a quarter of the space it used to be. And it's mostly taken up by crossword puzzles. That has definitely gone away. And it really ramped up in the last 10 years. Is there anyone out there that's getting a magazine subscription, though? And like, what's the reason? Is it because, well, I've always gotten this magazine? Like, again, I will say, seasonal magazines, right? There's a lot of holiday magazines out there. Yeah, don't be surprised if you see one or two on the counter at the Beamer house. But we're not subscribing. People magazine. They have the what do they call? I want to make sure I get the People magazine has their big issue every year. The sexiest man alive. I don't know why my application must have gotten lost in the mail, but the sexiest man alive, right? Everyone posts that. Now, you know that because it's all over social media. Are you subscribing to People magazine? Are you buying People magazine in the grocery store? I mean, seriously, if you follow People magazine on Instagram, you see the cover, you see the photo shoot. If that's what you're into, like if you're into looking at the pictures of the sexiest man alive, I'm not judging. But, I mean, what, you're going to go read about the sexiest man alive? But does that have the appeal that it had 20 years ago, is what I'm saying. For you ladies out there, does the People's Sexiest Man Alive have the appeal it had in 2005? I would argue it doesn't. And again, if it's something that's still like you want to check it out, you can get it for free online. You can get most of the information online, all the pictures and everything online. Teen Vogue was a magazine that is now being shut down. And in the article, talking about Teen Vogue being shut down, they said that it's surprising and important development. It is. It's surprising that Teen Vogue is not being printed anymore. Like, I would argue it's surprising that Teen Vogue would still be imprinted. GQ. Oh, my gosh. 20, 30 years ago, GQ. I mean, 50 years ago, GQ, right? Like, is it more surprising that GQ is still being printed? Or would it be more surprising if GQ stopped being printed? Like, to me, I'm surprised that it still exists. It just doesn't seem like, again, you don't have the amount of magazines in the grocery store. That used to be a great add-on. Now you still have, you know, a few when you go into the aisle, you know, when you go to cash out, and you have the quarter aisle at the grocery store. But nothing like you used to have. My gosh, you used to have like 12 selections when you went to go cash out on top of the aisle and a half you had in the store. 803-0930, *930 is the number to get on. And I'm asking you, what has gradually disappeared over the last 20 years? This might be something we bring back again tomorrow because I have so many examples that, I mean, Puckett would be playing his second in depth if I went through all the examples of things that have gradually disappeared. But music countdowns and magazines, not only are those ones that I noticed, but they're both in the news today as well. So you have to look no further than the headlines of the day, especially the media headlines of the day, what's going on in this industry, to be reminded of two things that used to be, my gosh, you used to get mailers. You know, sign up for 3 magazine subscriptions. Get the 4th for free. Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Guys, I apologize about the voice. I'm going to get home. I'm going to have some tea and honey. I've already told my wife, hey, I can't talk tonight. Okay? It's going to be all you talking. And I'll just write my responses. She might treat that as a holiday. Still have some time left. What has gradually disappeared over the last 20 years? 803-0930, star 930, on the Volkswagen Abort Your Part text board. Magazines have gotten so expensive. I do miss looking through some magazines, but now everything is on our phones. It's not the same. Now, Mark in Niagara Falls points out the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Still wildly popular, but I would argue that you can get a swimsuit issue every day if you just go on Instagram, right? Go on Instagram. If what you're looking for is women in bathing suits, you can put the right search into Instagram and you'll find those pictures. You get what I'm saying, though? Like, I get you know, having the magazine and everything, but let's not sit here and pretend. I can't say that the People's Sexiest Man of the Year doesn't have the appeal I had 20 years ago, but say the swimsuit edition does. It doesn't. Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition doesn't have the appeal it had 20 years ago. And again, if you're looking for those pictures, you can find them on Instagram for free. Tom in Middleport. Tom, what's something that's gradually gone away?
Conversation.
Oh, that's a good one.
People don't talk, they text. Kids will sit in the back of the car and text each other. Dating. Going to a bar, meeting someone, asking them out. Doesn't happen.
That is, you're right. I mean, even when you're out with someone at a bar, you're, like you said, you're not talking to them. You're looking at your phone.
Yeah.
Nothing
that's
worse.
I just wanted to chime in with a couple little things that really are gone.
And Tom, you're absolutely right, man. Absolutely right. Tom in Middleport. Conversation. I stress on this all the time, but Tom is right. We don't really talk anymore. I mean, we talk here on WBEN, but we don't have conversations. You have people that will ignore phone calls and just send a text. What did you want? We don't conversate. And no, I mean, you know, meeting someone at a bar. I mean, that just sounds so like 90s, right? But I would say, you know, I've not been on the dating scene since 2018, but the apps aren't all that great, you know? I'm just saying. The apps aren't all that great. Meeting someone out for the first time and talking with them in person for the first time, there's something about that. You feel that connection. Maybe I was just talking to the wrong person, people on the dating apps, but you never felt that connection then when you see someone out and you just strike up a conversation. That is the show. We might pick this back up tomorrow. Tomorrow, my hours are a little funky. I'm in for the last 2 hours of David's show and my show. So tomorrow I'll be on 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. I hope you'll tune in. The financial guys are on for the first half of David's show. So not to be confusing, but I will be on at 11 a.m. tomorrow and Friday. Tom will be back tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to talking with you. 11 a.m. I'm going to go get some tea, some honey, and rest my voice. Buffalo, thanks for putting up with me. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 11. Puckett's next on WBEN.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.